Now, how many of you have ever finished your last day at a job and you're walking away? Anyone ever had that before? Okay, a couple people.
Keep going. You're walking away and what?
And it'll go build it off, Ethan. There we go. And you're like, you have that feeling of like, I'm done with this job. Or when you graduate college or grad school, you're like, I just finished something. I remember my last day when I worked at a university in our region, and it was my last day. And I was like, this is crazy. I've been here 6 years, and HR contacted me earlier. They had an earlier appointment. I was like, that's great. I went there earlier. I remember seeing my boss in the parking lot, give him a big hug, say, see you later, I'm out of here. And I drove away. And I was like, I'm done. And I'm like, this is a whole new season. I just left my job, my salary, my housing, my utilities, my internet, my retirement. What am I doing? All to follow Jesus. And it was crazy to look back at that point. And the 7 years prior was just like the most difficult 7 years of my life that kept compounding and compounding and compounding and compounding until there was the day where God said, hey, you finish everything you need to finish. You finish all your training. Now you're being released for what I've really called you to do and I've shaped you to do. And then that's what I mean. Good thing those early butterflies attacking Ethan.
Cool.
They were very kind. They weren't bats.
It definitely hit me.
Yeah, and I stepped into church planting, and that's what happens. Butterflies attack people. Parrots poop on people. I mean, welcome to the park. Kind of crazy. So what we've been exploring is the making of a leader, how God develops his leaders over time. And it's often not a microwave leadership development. It's more of like the oven has to warm up, then you put it in, and it actually goes for a long time. And if you look at Joseph's life, that dude had a lot of years either in prison or working for someone as a slave. And I remember one time my mentor said to me, he's like, man, your life has been so smooth for so long. I was wondering when you were going to hit some hardships. And I remember in that season, I was like, dang, this is hard, and only got harder. And it was actually a total of 7 years that it had taken place. So God uses these years of hardship for formation and development of who he wants us to be. So we aren't going to read all the verses again, just because it literally took us like 10 minutes to read all of Genesis chapter 41. So what we'll do is we'll do a summary. So the first part, verses 1 through 36. So Pharaoh had this double dream, right? So he had these cows, the big fat cows that came there, and then the scrawny cows. And the scrawny cows ate the fat cows. And you're like, if you're having this dream, you're like, what did I eat the day before? Like, what's going on? What movie did I watch? Then he has another dream. It means the same thing. These grains of grain were growing super healthy, super strong. And then some scrawny ones ate those ones. And Pharaoh wakes up. And he's like, I have no idea what this means. And all of his magicians, so the top occult people in all of Egypt, they couldn't even interpret this for him. And do you see how this parallel is being set up? How God is setting everything up? Because in the chapter before, the two people that were working for Pharaoh both had dreams. And no one around them could interpret it. And then Pharaoh was there. So the time is right and everything is beginning to be divinely arranged by God. Because the cupbearer is positioned next to Pharaoh. And then the cupbearer informs Pharaoh about Joseph. So I just got attacked by a bug. So it's coming around. Watch out, everyone. You're next. So you can see how God divinely arranges everything. And then the divine dominoes begin to take effect. Because then Joseph, he's released from prison. Did you notice the first thing he was released from prison, what happened to him? They gave that dude a shave and a shower. And they put some nice clothes on him. Because he looked pretty rough. But this is actually a really important detail if you're like, why did they even include that? Where do you think he's been the past years in jail? He's been in a royal prison. So who's in a royal prison? Royal prisoners, right? So these are the high-end people in the kingdom. They're people of royalty. They're people of wealth. And if you're not wealthy and you've been around people who have mega wealth, they actually think differently than people who don't have wealth. So Joseph was actually being shaped through his prison experience in a royal prison so that when he came before Pharaoh, do you know what he knew how to do? He knew how to not offend Pharaoh. Because what happened when the other two people offended Pharaoh? One, both in prison and one got executed. So when Joseph stepped in the scene, he actually knew how to interact with royalty, with extremely wealthy people, because they think differently and speak differently than the average person. And did you notice that Joseph made God center stage rather than himself? Because when this played out last time with the two dreams, what did Joseph try and do when the cupbearer was leaving prison? He said, "Hey, remember me when," right? And then did you notice what Joseph said this time? He said, "God will tell you the dream and he will put you at ease." He said it to Pharaoh. So for him to say that, because Jesus says, out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth will speak. Those words came from Joseph's heart. It came from him being the center to God being the center of his life. So Joseph made no ploy or request for himself. So God worked out in Joseph what needed to be worked out so God could fulfill Joseph's design destiny. So for Joseph to actually step into what God wanted to use him for, God had to work out all these character issues in him. And so the dream and all this puts everything into motion that God had originally designed and given to Joseph in his dream. Because Joseph had two dreams as well. It was the stars and then the sheaves of grain. They all bowed down to Joseph. So do you notice that there's this double dream that's going on? Joseph had a double dream and Pharaoh had a double dream. So this is all super important, because when Joseph gets before Pharaoh and all the famine that's coming, that begins to set in motion Joseph's family coming to Egypt. So what you could hopefully see is that this gives us insight into how God divinely arranges his purposes for our lives. Because if you look back on your life, you could probably see connections with different people and how it led to certain things now. But in the moment, you're like, I had no idea about that person. So I'll give you like a kind of a cool example is Laura and Meredith. So when Meredith started to do homeschool with our kids, she got connected with Laura, this homeschool group. And we were like getting ready to plant a church. And Meredith was just going actually just meet moms. I was like, you got to be missional. You got to like do all this stuff. And she's like, I'm just going to go hang out with moms and my kids. And so she went there and just got to know moms with our kids and their kids and all this stuff. And little did we know what was going on in Laura's life behind the scenes and what God was doing there. So when we were literally getting ready to start at the park, I don't know how it all took place, but Laura was basically like, hey, do you know anything about a church? And I saw on Instagram, talked with Meredith. And then Laura and Josh and their kids showed up at the park the very first day that we started up. And they're here today and like a core part of our community, their pillars. So it's crazy how God had arranged at that place with going to Mom's Day at this park and what God would unfold. And then Jennifer's now connected too. So it's like all these things that God arranges that we have no idea what he's doing in the big picture. Another one is I got invited to speak on this church planting panel, and I shared about what we were doing. And this guy comes up after and says, hey, I did this in this other country in Southeast Asia. He's like, let me connect you with this other guy. So I got connected with this other guy. And this other guy's, hey, let me connect you with this guy named Ethan. And then Ethan and I met up and we started journeying together. So I was thinking, man, if I never would have went to that church planting panel, I probably wouldn't have met Ethan, or maybe God would have done something different. But God arranged all these things. So God is divinely arranging each of your lives individually. And it's often in the moment when stuff is going on, it's hard to see God arranging things in the moment when it's not as clear, but we can look back and say, oh, God was arranging and doing all this stuff. And it usually makes the most sense when you're in the parking lot walking away from your job saying, oh, I understand more of what you've been doing the past 7 years. And did you notice that there was the double dream? And it says in there, Joseph says, because you have two dreams that mean the same thing, it means it's been decreed by God, and soon God will make it to happen. Now, how many of you have ever had a double dream? Like you've literally had a dream and then the same dream again in a row before waking up, or you woke up and went back to sleep, and it was the same dream twice or differently, but the same dream. Anyone ever had that? Okay, not a lot of people. So I've had, I think, two of those instances in my life where I had a double dream, and I remembered this. I was like, oh man, when I have a double dream, that means that this is super important. Pay attention, because God is going to do something. He's decreed it and it's going to happen soon. So we can see from Joseph's life how important dreams are, because God speaks through dreams. Now, how many of you feel like you've ever had a dream from God? Okay, about half, almost everyone. How many of you, when you woke up, you're like, I knew what that meant right away? How many are like, I have no idea, what does this mean? Everyone's like, across the board, right? Yeah, so we see from scripture that dreams are really important, and God uses dreams to speak to his people. And also he speaks to people who don't know him, and we sat with Pharaoh and the cupbearer and the bread guy. So if you want to write this down, this is just a helpful way to frame up dream interpretation for your life, as God speaks to you through dreams. Revelation, interpretation, application. So revelation, God gives you the dream. Interpretation, what does this mean? And application, how does this apply? So revelation, God gives a dream. Interpretation, what does it mean? And application, how does it apply? I'll recommend this book too, by James Goll, G-O-L-L, called Dream Language. It is like the best book on dream interpretation I've ever read, and it was super helpful for me. And there's even a dream dictionary in the back that's based upon scripture. So if you're like, man, I want to grow in dreams or learn more, Dream Language by James Goll, highly recommend it. That's probably the top dream book I read and I'd recommend. And did you notice that when Pharaoh gets the dream, Joseph interprets it, but he also gives an application. Hey, here's how it applies. Here is a word of wisdom for how you navigate what's coming. And so God not only gave the interpretation, but he also gave Joseph a solution. Hey, here's what you do. So if you ever have a problem in your life, God always has a solution. So if you ever have a problem, God always has a solution. When we were talking to our DBS group, a theme of like Satan lying to us was coming up. So if you have a problem, guess what Satan's going to do? He's going to try and get you to believe a lie that it's the end of the world, your life's going to fall apart, you're never going to make it, you're going to be a loser, someone else just got attacked by a bug over there. Stand against these bugs in Jesus' name. And so God will use these in our lives to do what he's going to do there. So if you have that problem, God always has a solution. Yeah, so Satan is going to bring the lies, and we have to stand in Jesus' truth through the word to be able to remain in him, remain in Jesus. Because Satan's biggest thing is actually to get you to walk away from Jesus and to get you to walk away from a Christian community. Because once you go solo, like you ever watched like the National Geographic, like animal shows, who does a lion always go after? It's always that one that went off by itself, right? And always gets eaten. In the same way, like if you go off by yourself, you're more vulnerable to Satan's attacks, because if you stand firm together and people are praying for you, that means that you're able to overcome more fully. All right, I'm gonna tell you a dream I had because it connects to this. I wanna see if you can interpret it. All right, so I was on a bike, like a road bike, and I was biking, and behind me was hooked a big semi-truck trailer like you see on the freeways, and I was pulling the semi-truck trailer, and I think I was going up a hill, and then the trailer, as I was pulling it, it hit these branches in a tree to where like I lost momentum and I fully stopped, and I had to get back on and I had to start again, and I had to start getting momentum to be able to pull the trailer on my bike. And that was the dream. Any ideas? Okay, take a shot.
Oh, because you already know.
Yeah. Oh yeah, this is from like 3 years ago.
Well, I'm guessing that you're, okay, I don't know. but this could be not real, but you're going uphill, you're trying to get to the other side where you've like reached breakthrough, and you're bringing others with you, but it gets stuck by some trial, or like other people are keeping them from going through, and so you have to recalibrate and recenter yourself on Jesus before you can pull everybody else through.
Good. Okay. Great. So I gave you revelation of my dream. You gave me interpretation, which was like pretty spot on. So I'll build it out a little bit more. So me on the bike is training. So it's a training bike. So I'm training and I'm going up a hill. So there's incline, there's challenge. The semi-truck trailer is the size of the challenge that I'm pulling that's behind me. And in the context of that season, we were moving towards planting a church. Me hitting the branches with the semi-truck trailer is learning. I was learning from mistakes. Like, wasn't supposed to hit the branches. I don't know how it would have turned because it was like so big. But the idea is I'm learning from mistakes that are happening, and then I'm getting back on the bike and starting that momentum to pull the trailer again. So the main theme of the dream is God is training me in a very specific way that is very difficult because of the size and weight of the trailer that's being pulled. So do you see how that ties in the interpretation of it? And God will give you language in your dreams that is unique and specific to you. So he will speak to you in a way that you could understand. It's like, for example, I'm speaking to you in English and everybody here, to my knowledge, can understand English. But if I started speaking to you in Spanish, which I can also speak, I might lose some of you on the journey, right? But so God will give you language that you can understand and language that you can seek him on that he'll help you understand as well. All right, so when this whole thing starts playing out, verses 37 through 57, this is pretty much Joseph's day of destiny. Like everything that Joseph had learned from God through his double dreams in the beginning, he could see, oh, this is actually beginning to play out. It's beginning to happen. And so God promotes Joseph through Pharaoh. There was a really good insight in our DBS group that, did you notice that it was God who was the one who kept moving Joseph along? It wasn't Joseph who moved himself along. And every time Joseph tried to move himself, he was in prison longer. Like he had to stay longer in that season. And it was God who was the one who promoted Joseph through Pharaoh. Now think of everything that think of everything that Joseph endured. Like how many times do you think he wanted to give up? And what happens if he would have given up and be like, I'm done, I'm checking out? Think about the famine that still would have come, and probably the tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people that would have died, because it wasn't just Egypt, it was the entire known world around them that Pharaoh used Joseph to actually save, right? But if there was no Joseph, and so think about, like, what if there is no you? Like, what if there was no you in your family context? What if there was no you in your neighborhood or in your classroom or at your work site? Like, what if you weren't there? Like, think about everything that isn't going to happen. So you being there, being present, is so important. When I first started the church planting journey, God put a word in my heart. He said, you only lose if you give up. So he told me, you only lose if you give up. And do you know how many times I've wanted to give up? It's 7 now. 6 of them were before I started. 6 were before we even started at the park. Like, that's how hard it was. And then one of them was more recent. And I was like, I'm ready just to check out, man. This thing just doesn't ever let up. It just keeps getting more complex. But you only lose if you give up. So if you stick in the game, you will win every time because Jesus is with you. So Joseph was prepared by God to fulfill his destiny call. So if Joseph was not properly prepared, he would have failed. So if you're thinking like, God, let me get out of this season. Let me step into this thing that you're calling me to. If you're not properly prepared by God and he lets you step into it, most likely you'll fail, because God wants you to succeed. So he's going to take the time in your life to properly prepare you. And let me encourage you with this. As you guys go through prison years and really hard stuff, like, God will redeem your broken years. God will redeem your broken years. Because did you notice what the kids were named that Joseph had? Manasseh, God has made me forget all my troubles and everyone in my father's family. And Ephraim, God has made me fruitful in this land of my grief. So Jesus, in your personal life, he will take your broken years and he will redeem them. Now think about his family. Like, he was literally betrayed. They tried to murder him. They sold him into slavery. Like, all this crazy stuff. And he came into a place of slavery in prison. And in his grief, God made him fruitful. So what Jesus will do is he'll take your prison years, your years of suffering, and he'll actually redeem them for his kingdom and gospel purposes in your life. And here's where it all comes onto the scene. Now Joseph impacts the world. He is literally the number two guy in the entire world, the most wealthy, the most powerful person right under Pharaoh, and he gets to call all the shots. So the more difficult your process is, often the greater impact you'll have. So the more difficult your process, often the more impact you'll have. Because the difficult process is God working deep in you so that he can work deeply and powerfully through you. This is from my own story, but we got to recognize there's two differences of difficulty. There's our own difficulty of us making poor choices and us being disobedient. And so if we're making poor choices and we're disobedient, and you're like, oh, this is so hard. You're like, God, why are you doing this? God's like, oh, you're actually the one making some really poor choices. Like, it doesn't have to be this way, but it's difficult because you're choosing this way. And the other difficulty is actually God causing difficulty in our lives to grow our character and arranging our life accordingly. So God will use the difficulties in your life to grow your character and to arrange what he wants to do in your life for this very thing, your day of destiny. So he actually wants to arrange all these things for your day of destiny when he can release you into what he's actually created you to do. Now think about this for yourself. Like, what do you think God has created you to do? Like, when you step into the fullness of your call, your gifting, you're living into what God wants you to do with your life. What does that actually look like? And if you have a sense of what that is, that's your day of destiny. That's what God is wanting to prepare you for what he wants to do in and through your life. So I remember being in that parking lot and stepping into my day of destiny. I'm leaving APU and I am stepping into plant this church from scratch, and I don't know how this is going to work, but God said go, and so we're going. And I've shared with you before too, like, the idea of Enrich Church being a training center. What I did when I was studying for this message, the Genesis 41, I actually went and reviewed all my dreams from 2020 into the present, because I put them in Google Doc in Revelation Interpretation Application, and I date them. And it was crazy to see the dreams God had given me and how he specifically led me through all those seasons through dreams and pointing me in the direction he wanted me to go. But there was this one dream where I was driving in a car, and I wasn't driving, but I was in the passenger seat, which you can already see God is the one who's driving the car, not me. And we're driving down this road, and I see these two huge buildings. And I'm like, oh, those buildings are ours. Like, I just knew it. Like, those belong to us, like the church. And I didn't know if they were, like, physical buildings. My guess is at this point they're probably not physical buildings because I don't where to park right now. But there were, like, multiple layers. It was, like, 5 or 6 stories, and there were all types of different rooms in the buildings. And I remember saying in the dream, kind of just understanding, like, this is more than a church plant. This is a training center. Like, there's something more going on here that God wants to do. And so that's why I was like, okay, I think we're supposed to be a training center. That's why we're shaped differently. So you can even see how God, when he released me to start this, he gave me a dream of what he wanted it to look like specifically. So one of the best ways that we can understand what God is doing in the present and what he wants to do is actually reflect on the in the past and to see what God has been doing so you can understand what he's doing now and what he wants to do into your future. So I'm going to hand out another reflection for you. I really hope that these are, like, helpful for you as you reflect on them, because you'll understand more deeply what God is doing so that you're walking with greater clarity in God in your life. So that what I'm going to hand out now is a year reflection, and you'll look back over the past year of your life, and there'll be some bullet points there of things that you can specifically reflect on. So you can see on this spiritual life assessment that there's January through December. Obviously, we're in March right now. So you'll just think back to, like, from now until, like, last March. You could think about your spiritual highs and lows. What are major growth or turning points? What are spiritual, like, personal life setbacks did you experience? What are influential people that God connected you with that were influential for your life? What new opportunities did he present to you? Or anything else that you can think of that comes to mind? So the idea is, like, in the moment, we often don't necessarily see what God is doing. But when we reflect back, we can see more of how God was shaping us through those experiences. So take a few minutes to at least start this now, and then later in the week when you have your time with Jesus each day, you can build it out a little bit more. So let's take a few minutes to go ahead and start that reflection. Well, I hope starting this reflection gives you a little bit of the perspective of what God has been doing over the past year or season of your life, seeing how he's been shaping you. And then as you understand that more fully, you can see what he's shaping you for for that sense of destiny or purpose that he has for your life. So let me pray for us, and then we'll wrap up. So Jesus, we're super grateful for this morning. Thanks for this beautiful weather, and thank you that we can gather in your name. And I pray, Jesus, as we've studied Joseph the past couple weeks, that you would take the wisdom from your word that we've learned about what you did in Joseph's life and how you shaped him through his experiences and his character, his integrity, his skill set, and his gifts to prepare him for his day of destiny, what you created him to do, to step into. And so I pray, Jesus, that you would do that with everybody here, that you continue to shape everybody by your very hands and preparing them for what you've created them to do, whether they've not yet stepped into that, or they have, or they're in a transition season looking to what you're going to do next. Jesus, thank you that you're going to guide each person here every step of the way, and that you will not fail them. And so I pray, Jesus, that they would continue to look to you and follow you and be obedient to you no matter the cost. So Jesus, I pray that you would, at the right time, promote each person here into the position that you have for them for your kingdom, and to advance your gospel in their sphere of influence. And Jesus, as we get ready for the week, would you prepare us, Jesus, to live for you? Would you fill us with your spirit? Would you arrange the divine appointments of the right people in the right place in the right time you have for us to impact their lives for your glory and their good? And Jesus, I ask your protection over everybody here and our respective families and loved ones. We declare that we're under the blood of Jesus Christ and we're under his protection. And Father, would you assign your angels to us for your purposes in our lives? And we're excited for what you're going to do this week. In your name, Jesus. Amen.